Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Row Show.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're so glad you're listening in with us. Aren't we, Scott?
Yeah, I'm glad you rushed this. That was really cool. We're all trying to get ready.
Yeah.
We had another 10 seconds of music. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join in the conversation. Just log on to facebook.com/themusicrowshow and chat alongside with us.
All right. Yeah, you can do that on Twitter at The Music Row Show. You can find us on Facebook, also The Music Row Show. And after the show, you can hit us up on Instagram, also at The Music Row Show. And see how we did that? All at The Music Row Show.
Brilliant.
Very clever. Brilliant. Lots of focus groups.
Well, the Henningsons was already taken, so
yeah,
we
were
going to
call ourselves that.
The Henningsons Row Show.
Yeah.
That's such a common name.
Right, right.
And in case you haven't heard, Dish subscribers can now watch us on TV because the Blue Highways TV network is now on Dish.
That's right. You can watch us four times a week on Channel 73 all over the country. And for the first time ever, you know, we've been on TV for 3 years and nobody here's known it. But right here in Nashville, if you're a Dish subscriber, just get on to Channel 73 and check us out.
That's right.
Okay, Hino, tell our listeners about these nice folks sitting here with us.
Absolutely. Now, we get to visit this hour with hit songwriters and recording artists, the Henningsons. They're a family band who may be new to the charts as recording artists, but they're already veteran hit makers with songs for other artists like Love It Out Loud for Wynonna, Alone for Sarah Evans, and many songs for the band Perry, including All Your Life and Lie, and the very latest single for Billy Currington called Drinkin' Town with a Football Problem, which I just love that title. They have a brand new EP out, and it's called, wait for it, The Henningsons.
Whoa. Okay.
Which, you know, kind of, it goes right there with their Twitter handle. So, Brian, Clara, Aaron, The Henningsons, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you.
Okay. So, which one's Clara? No, I'm kidding.
Really.
I'm kidding.
Named after my grandmother.
Are you?
Okay.
All right. Let's start the story at the beginning. Brian, let's we're going to talk. We're going to talk with you for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Talk about your musical past and your early experiences with Nashville.
My mom and dad
brought get on in that mic.
My mom and dad brought me to the Grand Ole Opry one time, but I was so young I don't remember it.
Okay, and you'll never forget it.
But I'll never forget it because I can't remember it.
Right.
Nice. And, I love those nights.
We should write a song.
I think I need to write a song on
that.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, we grew up. My dad was a farmer and a horseman, and we grew up, you know, on a old family farm in Illinois, but we were steeped in all kinds of, you know, I mean, Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash, and my dad loved Ray Price, and that's the kind of music I grew up on.
Yeah.
Mom loved, you know, Simon and Garfunkel and things like that, so I grew up with a lot of harmony,
right.
And Mom and Dad are both really good singers, and so we had a lot of music in our house, and so, you know, when I got to be about 18, I figured I watched the kids out at the school dance. You know, we used to have live bands in the school dances back then. And I watched the guys on the rock band up there on the stage. And then I looked at the other kids dancing, and I looked again and I said, I want to do that.
Right.
Pointing at the stage.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be out there dancing. So I determined that
I still don't want to
see me dancing.
Right.
And so I started in bands for years and years and around Illinois where I lived. And never even dreamed that I would ever be in Nashville making music. And it's just something, it kind of happened to us almost by accident, I feel, or divine intervention. But we ended up here. I bought a home down here because I love old homes, and I found an old house in the country in southwest of Nashville, and my wife and I decided that we were going to have a big family adventure, and we were going to come down here and fix up an old house. and we would bring the kids down anytime we have off from the farm, and it kind of put us close to Nashville, and we wrote a song together, the three of us.
Well, let me back up, because you were working a full farm.
Yeah, I kind of still do.
You kind of still
but
do.
But I have a couple grown sons that do most of the work. In fact, they don't let me do anything fun anymore. I don't get to drive the big tractor.
Oh, no. But you had your big eureka moment on a tractor.
I did.
Talk about that.
I did. I was working ground in a field one spring, and this must have been probably 2003. And I was just kind of feeling like, you know, guys do when they're in their mid-40s, you know, you're, man, there's got to be something more to life. And I love farming, and I love my farm. And you know, it's been in our family for 140-some years. I didn't ever want to leave that.
Sure.
But I just thought, you know, I could do something. I could do something completely different. And so that set us in motion. And that year, my wife and I, we were just driving down through Tennessee. And I saw a business that said Leatherwood Historic Restoration in Franklin, Tennessee. And I thought, I also build houses growing up in my young adult years. And, mm-hmm. and I love old houses and antiques and things. And I thought, I want to do that. And I went in and walked in there, and that guy gave me a job that year after I got done plowing in wow. November. I came down and spent the rest of the winter working for that guy. And I love Tennessee, and I love Nashville. I love the Franklin area. And that's why we bought that old home.
Wow.
And it was just one of those little moments where I was actually listening to the radio, and a guy inspired me. He said that, you know, sometime in his life that he said, I don't always have to be a baker like my dad. I can do this. And lo and behold, here we are.
So when you started actually with pursuing the actual writing career, and where you were writing full time, were you then living here at the time, or were you going back and forth between Illinois and here?
We were back and forth.
You were back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you manage to pursue the career from a long distance perspective? I mean, because there's a lot of people listening to the show who probably do that or want to do that. So how did you do it?
Well, Aaron kind of inspired me to get into writing. He was in college down near Chattanooga.
Okay.
And was in a band, and he started writing music, and he'd always just been a drummer. He started playing guitar, writing music, and I was like, I didn't even know he could sing. He would never sing, you know.
All the drummers listening right now are cringing at that just a drummer.
Yeah, I didn't know.
He's just a drummer.
You know?
Yeah. I didn't know you were musical.
You know
wow.
The, you know how to get the drummer.
I didn't
off your
mean
front
it like
porch,
that,
right?
But yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Pay him for the pizza.
Pay him for the pizza.
Yeah. So Aaron had gotten out of college, and I was really, you know, proud of him, really thought that he had done a great job, and some of the stuff he was writing was really cool. And but we were down here in the winter of 06-07, and in February 07, Clara was, I think, 16 or 17 at the time, and had just really started singing a lot herself. And we met a guy who was a friend of a friend who was an aspiring country writer here in town. And although we grew up country, you know, I'd never written any country music. Mm-hmm. And I'd written some Christian music, some gospel music back like in the 90s. And but I'd never tried my hand at country. And this friend of a friend talked us into writing a song with him. And we sat down and wrote a song. And then the first thing we did was went to the Bluebird Cafe, open mic night.
Monday nights.
On
sure.
Monday night.
Got our ticket.
Yeah,
he had a ticket already.
He had a two-time ticket that he gave to us.
Nice.
And we sat on that stage, and I thought, well, this, you know, you don't know. I thought everybody was going to be so much better than anything we could produce or any song we could write. And we sat down, and people were really, they loved it. And I was blown away. But listening to Clara sing, you can imagine how they
sure.
might like anything that came out of her mouth.
Yeah.
But they loved the song. And that whole winter, I was down here pretty much the whole winter, and you know, in between crop seasons. And Aaron and I, we were working construction for a friend in Franklin, and every day we'd get in the truck and go to work together, and we'd take a guitar without a case because there's no room for a case in the guitar and guitar in a truck. So,
in the truck.
And so every day we'd get in my truck and drive to Franklin, and we'd work all day, but we would write music
while we work
sometimes. And you know, just like he'd run around the porch of the house and go, "Hey, I got an idea for that second line of the second verse." And so we just caught a bug, and it was so much fun. And everything we did, we would honest first thing we did every time we'd go back to Bluebird Cafe.
That's awesome.
And I just sing our songs and try them out.
I just had this picture of you out there on the job site. Why is he hammering so slowly? Oh, he's working on a ballad.
Yeah.
Just leave him alone. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a ballad.
You know, and you're missing, for all of our listeners who are going, how can I do this long distance and still maintain my business at home? The other part that he hasn't mentioned is have 10 kids.
Yeah.
Because you can have several at home taking care of things. See, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
You really thought this through years ago.
You planned ahead.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well, if I may,
please
pick up the story a little bit. When was it? Okay, it was 2007, after we had started writing, and I think we were about, we had probably only written, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 country songs. And I was at church one day, and I saw this guy from a distance, and he was wearing this cool leather jacket, and he had this spiky hair. And I was joking with a couple guys standing near me, and I said, "So you see that guy over there? That guy's important." And I was just being a
Does he look like a rock star? This guy looked like a rock star.
Looked like a rock star. And they said, "You know who that is? That's a guy named Cactus Mosier. He was in a country band, Highway 101. And I was like, "Oh, okay, well." And
he is kind of important.
He is kind of important. We had just done our first demos, our first official Nashville demos, and we sat down with Cactus and played him a few of the tracks. And he's like, "Can I have a copy of that?" And so, about a week later, he calls us up and he said, "Hey guys, I had a meeting with this producer. I don't know if you heard of him. His name is Paul Worley."
Oh my goodness! Wow.
Paul, of course, produced the Dixie Chicks and Mark Tina McBride and Big and Rich and
Lady A at the time.
Yeah. And he had just discovered this other band, the Perry Family.
Yeah.
And so Paul wanted to hook us up with them. He just thought family, sure. So we ended up and sat down in a conference room with them and had a little meeting, and we played them three or four songs. And amongst those songs were a song called "You Lie" and another song called "All Your Life." And we didn't even have those songs demoed. But we just had a little rough work tape.
Really rough.
But we played them live for them, and they loved them. They were sold. So
did you, let me back up just a little bit. So when you found out the guy was with Highway 101, mm-hmm. did you just walk up to him and say, "My name's Aaron"? What did you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And I want to play you some songs.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually,
we tell people not to do, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's usually what Aaron does, yeah.
Exactly. Perfect.
Well, I did have somebody introduce me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay.
No,
that's
the guy that introduced him actually became Aaron's father-in-law.
That's true.
Okay. He knew Cactus from church. They had known each other for years.
Well played. Yeah. Well played.
And then he gets the girl.
See, I get the and girl he gets and the, girl. The career.
Perfect.
It's all pretty awesome.
Brilliant.
So there you go. That's what you need to do. If you see somebody important at church, follow him into the bathroom and give him a CD.
No.
Oh, is that not what he said?
Yes. You didn't pay attention. Oh. Have a friend introduce him and then marry the friend's daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Come on. And then have 10 kids.
Have 10 kids and end up in a conference room with the brand Perry.
Yeah.
There you go.
There.
It's about that easy.
Simple. It was like a self. Self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't think that's correct.
I don't know what we're going to talk about the next 45 minutes because we've pretty much wrapped it up.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I got nothing.
Cut to music.
Yeah. Got nothing else.
Let's take a break though, and let's remind our listeners that this segment was brought to you by our very good friends at Toyota of Cool Springs.
Yeah, we love those guys almost as much as we love our Toyotas. We both are Toyota drivers, and we love that dealership because they really do go out of their way to create an exceptional experience for their customers, whether it's for in the service side or on the sales side. It's all very low key, and it's kind of like going and hanging out with some friends, you know, when you have to go get a car. They're not pouncing on you when you walk in the door.
No.
That's the thing that people hate about buying a car And it's so not like that at Toyota of Cool Springs.
That's I hate great. When my friends pounce on me anyway.
Yeah, it's that's just true. Weird. I learned that the hard way.
It's weird. Yeah. Toyota of Cool Springs, as for George, the owner, he's going to take great care of you on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're going to be back. There's a whole bunch of people waiting for a song, so we're going to come back with a song before they start breaking the windows.
Okay.
All right, you're listening to the Music Row Show. We're here with the Henningsons. We'll be right back.
Our prohibition. You put the pink in my car.
Yeah.
You put the dink in my reputation. Enough of this procrastination. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Baby, you're a keeper, my honey, only sweeter.
Love that. That's a tune called Sugar Rush by the Henningsons, and we're here with them right now.
Thank you.
I like that a lot.
Kind of a sugar rush.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we need to get a song, but I Clara, you're often referred to as the most talented in the family, and the most humble.
Yes,
usually by yourself.
Well, you know. Sometimes self titles are.
It doesn't
good.
Hurt.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt. Seriously, before this whole train started, what were your creative and professional aspirations?
Before,
like before all of this, were you ready to? Were you wanting to come here and be a singer, a solo artist?
You know what's crazy? It's like. I feel like the probably for all three of us, like I'm sure the guys can agree on this, that the dream kind of found us. I don't know. I never in a million years ever thought I would be doing what I'm doing. Like literally, I thought maybe I'd just marry a farmer up in Illinois and that would be my life.
This segment's brought to you by FarmersOnly.com, by the way.
Yeah, way to go.
Well, no, I'm not. But there's anything. Hey, I mean, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that.
No,
her husband's a landscaper, it's crazy. So it's kind of like farming.
You know,
Yeah.
Found the dream just kind of found its way into our lives, and
well,
here we are.
Clara,
well, how is farming? I've heard one of you mention that farming is a bit kind of like the music business. How is that?
Yeah, it's
unpredictable.
You
early mornings,
it's unpredictable, and
late
there's
nights.
A lot of storms, and you have to wait a lot.
Okay,
yeah,
a lot of hurry.
You got to plant seeds, and if you want to grow corn, you got to plant corn. If you want to grow it well, you got to fertilize it, and then you got to sit back and wait.
Right.
And so you have a lot of patience involved. Things turn very slowly, and
that is like
in the
music
business. Yeah, sometimes every once in a while a big storm comes through and things happen fast. But mostly it's just you plug away and you keep going. And even when things look good and when they look bad, you go harder. And that's how you do it.
There you go.
Aaron, you were going to tell a story on Clara, weren't you?
Well, it wasn't a good one.
That's okay. Right. Even better.
Actually, it's funny because I feel like we're time traveling here. But going back in time when we were making those first demos, it's funny because we were in the studio and Clara was singing along on the scratch vocal. And it just wasn't feeling right. There was something about it. There was a certain song called 8 Minutes. And it just didn't feel right. And the guitar player said, you know, what if you take this up a step? And Clara was a great singer at that point, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden she was like, no, no, no. We were like, you know, we don't know. We don't know. That seems a little high. And he's like, no, just take it up a step. And why don't you just sing it out a little bit, Clara? And she sang this chorus and all of a sudden, like it just peeled the paint off the walls and everybody goes, what just happened? Like
wow.
It just took all the air out of the room and she hit the note with just this thing that you can't even hardly describe, and it's sort of that thing that Carrie Underwood does, you know, when she's belting it out, and so from then on, it was just sort of like, it just became easier.
Wow.
Know? And she just, I mean, every day she gets better and better, and unfortunately for me and Dad, we're about as good as we were.
But the good news
brother.
Is your dad gets a lot of painting work out of it.
I know, I know.
He gets a lot of painting work.
I know.
Yeah,
it
all that painting
works so much better than the chemical stripper things that you put on the walls to get the paint off.
Just get
Clara to sing that note.
Perfect.
It falls off. And
well,
then
let's
you get
do it. What we've been wanting to do.
Yeah,
some
we don't like this paint here, so let's do something.
Yeah, let's play us a song. How about that?
Well, this is.
We wrote this song with.
I play loud, so.
we wrote this song with a gal in town here, young writer named Maren Morris,
nice,
who has just started really to have a lot of success herself as a writer. And Clara, tell the story.
All right. Well, okay. Well, okay. My mom and dad have been married for... My mom and dad. I pointed to Aaron. That's not yeah. my mom.
I'm kinda
we
like,
don't judge. Wow. We don't judge here.
My mom and dad have been married for 33 and a half years, I guess. And they have 10 children together.
Yeah.
And Aaron's the oldest. I'm the most talented.
hey!
Anyways.
Just getting
but
old
dad was
a
little rough around the edges when they first got married. And so mom decided she was either going to pray him into the kingdom or kill him. So we wrote a song about it with Miss Maren Morris, and this is called Jesus or a Bullet. Sometimes he straddles fences, sometimes he hangs the moon, sometimes he rises early so he can drink before noon. At this rate, I don't know the path he'll take. No, Hades or pearly gates, either way he'll get a brand new start. He needs Jesus or a bullet in his heart. His mama, she was a rounder. His daddy was a man of the cloth. Sometimes he walks on water, sometimes on alcohol. At this rate, I don't know the path he'll take. No, Hades or pearly gates.
Got a gun and a Bible with his name on it.
God knows that I cry and that I pray, darn it. At this rate, I don't know the path he'll take. No, Hades or pearly gates.
Wow,
that chair with wheels doesn't go back far enough, Clara.
I told you.
Man, I tell you what.
Well, now we get to repaint.
That's
cool
right.
As that.
The problem is,
I think it peels some paint off my guitars.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it looks looks a little better now. Well, you know, now speaking of you guys having a big family, 10 kids total, any chance that, you know, some of the other family members might end up in the group at some point, or
you know,
is this
we're
a
constantly holding auditions to replace dad? So, Audrey, my sister, is standing outside.
She's
hi, Audrey.
She could Audrey could be Claire's replacement.
One of their looks identical to Claire.
Actually, yeah, I have all my sisters are look like me, and they're probably even more talented than me. So, I'm sure the guys are playing.
Are you guys this nice to each other when you're off the air?
Or worse.
No.
Because my kids fight a lot. I'm just saying.
Oh, we do, don't worry.
Okay, so Aaron, what were the deciding factors for you for because you kind of had a band going. You were kind of doing some things. What kind of made you say, I want to do this?
I ended up moving after college. I went to college at a little school in East Tennessee, Bryan College, and after school I moved into the house where dad had bought. Mm-hmm. Outside of Nashville. And by the way, it's like outside of Nashville, like an hour and 20 minutes or something.
Like Alabama.
You guys, I live in Chapel Hill. We're neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I know exactly where you are.
That's awesome.
And like, exactly. I've gone. Yeah. I've sat in your house quite a few times when you
were home. When we weren't home.
Yeah.
Right.
Just kidding.
Well, that was awkward. As long as you, leave some leftovers.
Bring some cookies or something.
Yeah. Chinese food or something. But anyway, so I moved into that house, and then the deciding factor for that band was that the band didn't move to Nashville when I thought they were going to.
Got it.
Uh-huh. As in, not at all.
That ended that.
And so, we just started writing and everything, and I think that it really obviously progressed once we met the band Perry and that whole thing. And even in all of that, I don't think we really realized what was going on. It was sort of like,
well, they were new.
Yeah.
They weren't huge at the time. No. Well, actually they didn't even have a record deal yet.
Right.
And, Paul Worley was going to produce an EP for them. Shop it maybe to labels.
Sure.
And so Paul had introduced us to them, and we just hit it off with them. I mean, they're great kids.
She played us If I Die Young.
Yeah, she played If I Die Young to us on a guitar.
And we went, on the floor.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you hear something and you know it's...
Yeah. We were like, everybody in our family was like, are you sure you should let those kids sing your songs?
Should you sell your songs to those?
They gave me $1.75.
Yes. And Paul Worley told us, we were really green. And really knew it all this. And Paul was really, he was our mentor. Mm-hmm. And Cactus too. And they both became really great friends with us. Paul was actually the one who encouraged us to do the trio thing. And because I'm going, man, I'm in my 40s.
And we're going, man, he's in his 40s.
Yeah. And Aaron, is never mind.
I'm
just kidding. But he, when we sang together, we had fun together. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. And it didn't get the reaction. People weren't going, oh, that's dorky.
Aaron and I were, just other people weren't.
But...
I'm sorry, it's degrading.
It's degrading now.
Yeah.
But it just worked, and Paul just really encouraged us to do that. And the other thing he told us, because we asked him about, should we give these songs? Because we really think, these could have been our songs. Those could have been our breaking songs. And he goes, you are going to write way, way more songs, and you're going to write better songs. And we went, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several guests over the last few months have talked about songs that they kept for themselves that would have gone on to, Garth Brooks wanted to cut this, but I said no, So you did the right thing.
Never say no
to Garth Brooks.
To anybody.
Because you never know. Because at the time, he wasn't, just like the band Perry at the time. No,
you know,
deal.
What? And if those first two songs that we had with them wouldn't have been big hits, we could have gone ahead and recorded them because most people wouldn't have heard them anyway.
Sure. Right.
Sure.
Absolutely.
No. But I think that's interesting because I think a lot of people that are, when they first come to town, are thinking, I'm only going to write with hit writers and I'm only going to pitch to people who are big deals. Having no idea that people that are hit writers and people that have deals aren't going to want to do anything with you. So, I think... a lot of new people might miss opportunities by someone who also doesn't have a deal and going, nah, no thanks. It's really important to be open to anybody and everybody.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well,
because, Garth Brooks was a new artist at one point.
Sure.
That's right.
Gotta keep that in mind.
You do.
Skipping ahead a little bit to more modern day with our Billy Currington single.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll talk about that in a bit. Maybe I should.
No, you're just dropping Billy's name.
Yeah, name dropping.
Yeah, we were hanging out on the boat the other day with
Billy Currington,
Bill, as we call him.
Oh yeah, you don't just call him B.
William.
William Carrington.
William. BC, what's up?
And I'll never forget when he turned to me and said, hey, get me a beer.
Yeah.
No.
Listen, Billy Carrington told me never to name drop.
That's smart.
Good advice.
So
anyways,
Obama.
Go ahead. Let's skip ahead. What were you going to say? We'll come back to it later.
I don't know.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
The gals we wrote that song with, you know, they I don't even know. Dad met them somewhere at just a...
Yeah, I'll tell the story in a little while, but they were complete... They just contacted me on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they've never had any hits. And I'm like, sure.
They've had
cuts,
but we'll get to that.
Yeah. I've been contacting you on MySpace for 5 years, by the way. You haven't answered me once.
Well,
Brian.
That could be...
Hey, Brian. Around,
I have so many... It's messages that I just can't get
on
to
MySpace?
Them all.
On MySpace.
Scott's the one guy left on MySpace.
And the main thing was I needed help moving a year and a half ago when we were going to Chapel Hill.
I have a truck. Man.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good to know.
So you kind of alluded to this, Claire, a little bit, but, you know, most kids, you know, I can speak for mine, I can speak for Scott's and a few other people I know. Most kids, you know, think their parents don't know anything about anything, and they really, hanging out with them is not at the top of their list. So what was your reaction when, you know, your dad says to you, hey, let's start a band?
Similar.
Sugar Rush.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably what any kids would be. We would try to run away, but it didn't work.
he's a fast
Well, that's the thing. That's the crazy thing about our situation, I guess, is that it happened very organically and naturally. It wasn't like, let's just start a band.
Yeah, we didn't. It was none of it.
It wasn't ever a decision.
On,
it just
it was
happened.
Never anything that was forced. It was like, we got to do that and we got to make that happen. It was always just like, oh, wow, I can't believe that just happened.
And a lot of people be like, well, you guys have been singing together your entire lives. Nope. And like, actually, no, we weren't like the Von Trapps. We were just, like in 2007, we literally, the
we
first time
the
we ever played together was on the
Lederhosen.
I was
going to
say, you'd look pretty snappy in Lederhosen.
Lederhosen,
mm-hmm. I'm
that's
thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or at least clothing made out of curtains.
Yes.
Yeah.
We do have
I have a shirt like that.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? At our age. Let's take a break.
Let's do that.
We got to do that. We're here with the Henningsons. You're listening to the Music Row Show, and we're going to be back with even more of all this fun. Stick around.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. Drink in town with a football problem. I love that. That's the latest single from Billy Currington, and it was written by our guest this hour, the Henningsons.
Along with some others.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who else wrote that with you?
Two young women, Vanessa Olivares and Elizabeth Elkins, who have a band called Granville Automatic, or a duo.
Okay.
Called Granville Automatic. And the name Granville Automatic is the name of an antique typewriter, in case you're wondering.
The kind they used to use when he was a kid.
I became friends with them on Facebook, and I loved the name Granville Automatic, and I didn't know what it was. Okay. And I found out by kind of reading some of their stuff that they write songs about history, about Civil War and Texas history and things like that. And I was very intrigued with that. And I thought that was really cool. Well, they just contacted me a couple, two or three times over the last year or two. And they were like, oh, yeah, well, maybe we should write together sometime. And normally, you know, as a pretty busy writer,
sure,
I don't normally just take time to write with somebody I don't already know.
Right.
But I just did this one day. I said, yeah, sure, we'll do it. And we all sat down and Elizabeth pulled up her computer list of all of her hooks and titles, started going through them. About third or fourth one down, she goes, "Drink in town with a football problem." She goes, "Oh, I've had so many people pass on that." And I'm going, "Oh my gosh, we are writing that." I hadn't heard a hook that good in the last 2 years.
Wow,
I mean, it's an awesome
Dad called me after that co-write, which I thought was kind of odd, because typically, like, if we're splitting up co-writing, we don't normally call each other and say what we wrote or whatever. And I asked him, and he said, or I was like, you know, how was your day? He said, it's all right. We wrote something decent, and they got this hook idea. It's called Drinking Down with a Football Problem. I was like, Dad. He's like, I know. Yeah. So we all got together with him about
we
a week
after that.
We wrote
that, sucker.
There you go.
How do you think your what has changed in your songwriting process since moving to Nashville? I would imagine it's changed a lot since you really weren't writing a whole lot before this, but have you guys felt yourselves changing and evolving?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think, I mean, kind of any songwriting process over time changes.
Sure.
I mean, we argue more now, but I'm just kidding. No, we actually really don't.
We actually argue less, but sometimes we should argue more.
Well, the thing that changes, like if you're an aspiring writer, mm-hmm. usually you're inspirational writing. You're writing when you are inspired.
Right.
You're like, oh my gosh, I just feel so inspired. And I used to write like that.
Uh-huh.
I might write like one song a year or three songs a year or five, or if I was really super inspired, seven.
Right.
And it's like, but when you make that transition where you're actually writing for a living, you have to write as a discipline.
Sure.
And it's no longer just when you feel like it. You write when you don't feel like
right.
it. You write when you're uninspired. And you search harder. It's harder to come up with good lines and hooks because you use them.
Sure.
You know? And so sometimes you just feel a little dry. And that's a lot of times when we're writing, I enjoy writing with somebody we don't write with very much because they'll have an idea that I haven't thought of
right.
or haven't heard of or mm-hmm. anything like that. And, you know, and you do, you know, I don't know, you get better, you get more attuned mm-hmm. to what works and what doesn't work. And it's just like any discipline you do, the more hours you practice it, the better
right.
you get at it. That doesn't necessarily make us any faster than we ever were. We're not terribly fast writers, but occasionally something will just fall out.
And there was something somebody told us really early on in the process that's always stuck with me. And I think there's a mentality in Nashville with new writers in particular that if you can't beat them, join them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true, because if you're trying to recreate something that's already been done, mm-hmm. then you're not the big named writer, then you're not going to get the cut.
Right.
But if you can do something that's yourself or your twist on life or your twist on an idea, but still do it in a commercial way. Some people do the opposite. They go too extreme. And they just, I'm going to be totally myself and just kind of forget commerciality. And you really can't, because there is a vein of commerciality that has to be achieved. And I mean, sometimes it's just production, but I think that you have to sort of be able to compromise, but also, be willing to put yourself in the song and just hope that people at the end of the day like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they don't, then.
If they don't,
then you go write another one.
Write another one. Yeah.
Write another one. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back and get one more song from the Henningsons.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Music Row Show. We'll be right back, y'all. Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
We are here with the Henningsons. That's a tune of theirs called Like a Girl. Like a Girl.
Yeah.
And we've got a whole bunch of people out here outside the window waiting for
a
song.
Good morning,
so I think we better give them a song before they get crazy or violent or something. So
all right, yeah.
Feel like doing something for us?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to play a song that we wrote, the three of us wrote, which... sometimes I feel like it's a rare thing these days when we get to write together.
Yeah.
Just three of us. And we've partnered up with a seed corn company out of Indiana called Beck's Hybrids.
Okay.
And they have this campaign called Why I Farm. And it's really cool, very powerful, like, campaign to honor the American farmer. And
it was kind of interesting they sort of approached us and we sort of approached them at the same time through a mutual connection. And when we wrote this song, we wanted to write the song based on their campaign called Why I Farm. And as a songwriting discipline, we went back and forth, like, are we going to make this song something that's, that appeals to farmers, or are we going to try and work at this and make it something that appeals to everybody? And we're really proud of it. We feel like it appeals to everybody, and you guys be the judge. You can go on whyifarm.com and download this for free. And the first day, we just launched it a few days ago. And the first day, we got rid of it.
It's all lit.
1,600 downloads in the very first 24 hours, which is awesome. Yeah. So they're still giving them away.
A little mini tour with them this summer.
We're hitting Indiana State Fair, Louisville, and the Farm Progress Show, Louisville. Those are my people.
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
Are my people there. So, and we just, this song is, it's kind of our family story. And so we didn't have to write it for them. We just wrote our story.
Nice.
To fit with what they were doing to honor American farmers.
All right, well, let's hear it.
Why I Farm.
He knows every stone that's been struck by the plow. There's a pile by the barn by the sweat of his brow. The land has his heart and he rarely complains. And it holds his knees when he prays for. He's a dusty old car, hard and light in the barn. He'll work the late hours and he's up before dawn. Every man has his story and the story goes on. From a granddad's eyes to a newborn son. Why farm is in my blood, like the sun that's on my skin. It's who I'm meant to be.
It's who I've always been.
It's more than just a living. It's my way of life. Yet it grows like seed inside my heart. That's why I we always pulled through when we thought we would break. In the flood 93 and the drought 88. The Lord has his timing, 'cause only he knows that when next year comes, the crops will grow. Like the sun that's on my skin, it's who I'm meant to be.
It's who I've always been.
It's more than just living. It's my way of life.
Shake around me, still I'm stable. As long as I'm able, I'll work this land.
It's who I am.
Cause when heaven comes this close to earth, you hold it. Life is but a moment in a bigger plan.
Why I form is in my blood, like the sun that's on my skin. I've always been more than just a living. It's my way of life, and it grows like seed inside my heart, living on long after I depart. That's why
love that song.
Woo! Thank you.
I heard it at the Opry just a week
very
ago.
Nice.
Yeah,
loved it then.
Man,
I love it now.
Thank you.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, you
very,
guys.
Very nice.
We had so many more questions for you. You just got to come back.
We will.
Not a
time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Love to.
This good. Is so
awesome.
Much fun.
Good. We'll make it happen. This is The Henningsons. Where's your website? Where do people find you?
www.thehenningsons.com, and that's HENNINGSENS.
And go on Facebook and Twitter. We talk to
and
everybody.
Instagram. Yeah. And we deal with all that stuff. So you'll be talking to us if you say, hey.
Nice.
Perfect. 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 All right. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say thanks a lot. And everybody go visit themusicroadshow.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. Till we meet again, go write something.